And go to the book of John, John chapter 12, verse 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And I want to read through verse 33 this evening. In John chapter 12 and verse 20. Stand with me as you turn. Stand with me as you turn. And it says in verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for the scripture that we hold in our hand. Lord, I thank you for this account. Lord, you begin to tell us of some of your final days and some of your final words. And I pray tonight that as we look at this passage of Scripture, that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me and use me. And Lord, help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say and nothing less and nothing more. I pray that you would touch each and every heart tonight, Lord, from your word, and that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our lives. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 23 again, it says, Jesus answered and saying, The hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. If you read the first part of this chapter, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. This was just a few short days before the Lord's crucifixion. These chapters, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, just lead right up to those final hours of the Lord's crucifixion. It's the Passion Week of Christ. And he shows up in Bethany, and there he meets, and you know the story, as Mary anoints his feet, and we looked at that this morning a little bit, but... And you'll see different settings. God's really preparing people for his crucifixion. In this verse, he uses it this way. It's kind of, in verse 23, it says, And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Boy, not the way I guess I would have worded it. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In verse 32, he says, And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And he spoke this, signifying what death he would die, that he was about to be lifted up on a cross, and he was to be crucified. And the Lord said, This is the hour in which I'm going to be glorified. Philippians 2, 5 through 9 says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Here the Lord speaking of his glorification, he said, This is the hour that I came into the world for. This was what he was born for. Around Christmas, we'll sing that song, Born to Die upon Calvary. Jesus is saying, This is the moment. This is the hour. It's right around the corner. This is what I came to this world for. He would do. He was about to be betrayed and crucified, and he would rise again. And at that moment, he would be glorified. And talk about the Lord being glorified. Look, friend, you are here tonight because of what took place there at Calvary. I think of what he said in John chapter 15, or as he's speaking there, and he said, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You know, when a Christian brings forth fruit, the Lord is glorified. Well, if there's anybody who brought forth much fruit, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought forth much fruit. many folks who have come to know the Lord as their Savior. And in what took place at Calvary, the Lord, who came and humbled Himself and took upon Him the form of a servant and was obedient even unto death, was crucified and lifted up and buried and rose again and ascended and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And He has been glorified in His work on this earth. As I read this passage of Scripture, that thing that stood out to me was Christ's example, really, of a fruitful Christian, of a fruitful life. It says in verse 20 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The Lord began to use His life as an example here on what it took to bring forth much fruit. The title of the message tonight is just this: fruit or fruitful. It's, are we fruit or are we being fruitful? Because I think in these few verses here, God begins to give us, if you will, a little bit of a recipe of the fruitful Christian life. He sets the example. He sets the example of fruitfulness in what He's about to do, and He calls us to a life of fruitfulness on our own. And I want to highlight a few things from this passage of Scripture quickly. And the first thing I notice as I read this is there was a life-giving death. Doesn't really make sense, except for in verse 24 again, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and it die, it abideth what? Alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So there are some that abideth alone. There are some Christians, if you will, that abide alone as fruit. And then there are some Christians who bring forth much fruit in their life. You go a little further in this chapter, you'll see some of those who are as fruit. Verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." There was some fruit, but not fruitfulness. There were some folks in those verses who were fruit in that they had believed in the Lord, but that was it. They were not fruitful in the Christian life because they were more concerned with the praise of men than they were with the praise of God. They had believed, but they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue, and they became fruit. There's a big difference between being just a fruit and being fruitful in the Christian life. Some people are satisfied with it. Anybody ever polish an apple? Anybody ever polish an apple? We used to do that when we were kids, just for fun. You ever polish an apple, Brother Chris? You take it and you just rub it and rub it and rub it until it shines. Anybody ever do that? And you just kind of, and then you eat it, right? It's the way of cleaning it without water, right? You just polish that thing and you polish that piece of fruit until it just shines. You know, and in this passage of Scripture, God has given a recipe that is this. It's not about being a bright, shining piece of fruit, but being fruitful in the Christian life. And what He talks about here is, He says, here is the first step to fruitfulness in the Christian life, is that you're going to have to die. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and it die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Have you ever thought about what life would be like if the Lord hadn't died? He'd come and walked on this earth. And walked on this earth, born in that little manger in Bethlehem, and lived a life without sin. If He had performed the miracle at Canaan, turning the water into wine, He began to live His life and heal the lame and make the blind to see and cleanse the leper and raise up Lazarus and feed 5,000 and feed 4,000 and calm the sea. People would marvel at who He was. He would stand out for who He was. But it wasn't until He died that it would bring forth fruit of Christians. My friend, if He had not gone to Calvary, you and I wouldn't be here today. If He had not gone into the empty tomb and risen from the dead, you and I would have no hope of heaven. We wouldn't be here. But because of His death, because of His burial, because He was willing to sacrifice Himself and die on an old rugged cross, you and I are here today knowing that we have the hope of glory. We are fruit that abounds, if you will, in some ways to his account. And he's speaking to this. He said, if he hadn't done what he had done, you and I wouldn't be here today. And he speaks of this to the Christian. He says something similar to you and I, that there is a need that you and I die, that we would bring forth fruit. The Lord said this in Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He said, I'm going to have to die my death that you could be my fruit. And he says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to die your death. You know, you can polish that apple up and you can make it clean and it can be a beautiful apple and you can sit it on your windowsill and it will be there as a nice piece of fruit. You can brag on it, you can talk about it, you can look at it, but it will slowly rot. It will get soft, it will turn brown, and it will sooner or later die, and you will take it and you will put it in the trash. But you take that piece of fruit and you take it out, you dig up the ground, and you bury it in the ground, and you fertilize that piece of fruit, and it dies in the ground, and all of a sudden something happens. A little sprout of a tree comes up. Soon that tree grows. Soon that tree is bearing forth fruit. And the Lord is saying this, if you will be fruitful, it's not because you polish yourself up and make yourself look good. It will be that you die to who you are. It will be that you don't mind getting beat up a little bit and someone digging some dark hole and dropping you in that hole and covering you up. Where you cannot be seen, where it's dark and it's hard. But you die. And you bring forth fruit. I'll tell you something about the key to the Christian life is, if you will bring forth fruit in the Christian life, you're going to have to follow in the steps of our Savior. His steps led him straight up to Calvary. His steps led him to a garden. His steps led to his prayer where he prayed these words, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not thy will be done, not my will be done, but thine be done. And he willingly laid down his life at an old rugged cross and died on that cross and said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. He laid down his life that he might have fruit. And I'll tell you this, Christian, the difference from being a nice piece of fruit for the Lord and being fruitful in the Christian life is, are you willing to die to self? Are you willing to die? See, many folks are willing to shine, but few are willing to die. There's a group of folks that were content with being some fruit. They didn't mind believing in the Lord in this chapter, but when it came to possibly being kicked out of the synagogue, rejected by their peers, looked down upon for following Christ, they said, I don't want that. They wouldn't die to self. Fruitless. They were fruit, but they were not fruitful. Christian, there is a need in the Christian life. If we will be fruitful in the Christian life, then there is a need for us to die. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must what? Decrease. He said, take up your cross and follow me. There comes a time in our life when we have to say, here it is, Lord, not my will be done, but thine be done. I will die to self in order to accomplish your will. Many people want to serve God their way. Few want to serve God His way. Many folks would put them in line to serve the Lord, but few are willing to die and say, Lord, it's not about what I want, it's what you want. It's not about me being a nice polished piece of fruit on the shelf. But Lord, you can put me in the ground. You can do what you want to do with my life. And I will follow you because I am going to die to self. Here it is, Christian. If Christ died that we might live, and you and I must die that Christ would live in us. Look at Galatians chapter 12, or Galatians chapter 2. You probably know the verse already as I mentioned the book of Galatians. But Galatians chapter 2 and verse 22. Look at what it says here. Or verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I tell you what, the key to Christ living in us and doing a wonderful work is not only our acceptance of Him, but our willingness to say, Lord, I'm going to die to who I am so that You can live in me. I am willing to be whatever You want me to be, as it was with Paul. He was willing to be shipwrecked. He was willing to be stoned. He was willing to be in prison. He was willing to be rejected by his own. He was willing to, if you will, have to flee for his own life, all to fulfill what God called him to be, a missionary to the Gentiles. And Christ lived in him. He would look at his disciples and he said, here it is. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. Here it is. We can be fruit or we can be fruitful. I can choose that I want to be a nice, bright, shining piece of fruit that people walk by and say, well, what a nice piece of fruit. That guy, what a nice guy he is. And that we can choose to be something that maybe stands out and is noticed, or we can decide to say, Lord, here it is. It's not about what others think of me. It's what others think of you. And I'm willing to die to who I am so that I might be fruitful and bring forth Christ. There was this call here that there is not only a life that brings forth death, but a love that produced hate. Look at this. That's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. It says here in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. It said something similar again in Matthew 16. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He said, here it is. You're going to have to learn here. You're going to have to not love your life. You're going to have to learn to hate your life. If you want to look up what that word hate there means in the Greek, it really means hate. It means to love less. And here I think the key is to that. If you would go over just a few chapters to John chapter 17, I love John chapter 17, and John chapter 17 is truly the Lord's prayer, and he goes away a little way into the garden to pray. And forgive me a little bit if my imagination is a little overactive, but I picture the Lord as he meets with his disciples and they're in that upper room, and they have the Last Supper, and Judas runs out to betray the Lord, and the Lord's meeting with them, and he begins to teach them some things. He teaches them some John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll doubtless come again. And he began to teach them about what it means to be fruitful, and he gave them some tremendous promises. He gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then he says, come out with me into the garden. And the Bible talks about how they went out and sang a hymn. And then he goes into the garden and he brings those disciples with him. And he leaves a group of them there at one point in the garden. And then he says, Peter, James, and John, come a little ways further with me in the garden. And there he stops and he looks and he says, you guys wait here and watch and pray with me for an hour. And he slips a little bit further into the garden to pray. And I picture John just a little bit standing back and maybe just as the Lord slips further into the garden, just listening before he passes out in sleep, and hears some of the words of the Lord as he begins to pray here in John chapter 17. And he hears as God's praise, and the Holy Spirit would later remind him of these verses here. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. If you were to look at the life of Christ from a human standpoint, you would say it was a life cut short. 33 years of age. You would say about the Lord, what a life cut off short. short of its, from the world standpoint, short of its full potential. What would have happened if he had continued? But Jesus in his prayer says this, I have finished the work that you have sent me here for. Like Christ lived the fullest life that you can live. He could come to the end of it and say, I have finished the work that you put me here for. Paul would say something similar to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my what? Course. He said, here it is. I have done in this life what you put me here to do. You know, Christian, the goal for you and I as Christians is that we can come to the end of our life and we can look back and say, I have finished, Lord, the work that you put me here to do. I have finished what you put me on this earth to do. I have found it and I have fulfilled it and I have finished it. And what the Lord's talking about here, he's saying, we're not supposed to love the things of this life. We're supposed to love the things of eternity. To the point that our love for the eternal makes the way we viewed it, the things of the temporal, almost as if it's hate. That the world looks at us a little bit and says, they're nuts. What happens so many times, we're not careful as Christians, is we live in such a way in the temporal that it looks like we don't even believe in the eternal. It's like we're living for everything the world has down here. And to the world around us, it makes them think that we don't even believe in the eternal. See, and the Lord Jesus Christ had lived in such a way that there was no doubt that there was an eternal. He didn't live for the things of this earth. He lived for one thing, to do the will of his Father. To do the will of his Father. To do what God put me here. There was something this week as I studied this portion of Scripture, God used something to remind me even yesterday. There was something that I was this close to having that I really had looked forward to having, all right? It wasn't ministry related. It wasn't financial, family related or anything of that. It was personal. Nothing wrong with it, but it was this close. Something I had wanted and looked for, and nothing wrong with it. Maybe one day I'll have it, all right? But this close, last minute, the Lord just went, whoop, took it right away from me. And I was studying this portion of Scripture at the same time. And as I studied it, it was like the Lord spoke to my heart for a minute, and he said this, here, Seth, will you die to that? And live for what I called you to do. I began to write down some of the things that I know God had put me here for. I know he put me here to commune with my Lord. To commune with my Lord. I know he put me here to love my wife. To lead her, to protect her, to love her. I know he put me here to raise my children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I know he put me here to lead and shepherd his church. I know he put me here to declare his name to a lost world. I know he put me here to spend myself for him. And here's what a love for the world looks like. Anything that would get in the way of me doing any of those. Any of those. Is there something that I would allow for myself to begin to love that would hinder me being able to love and lead my wife the way God called me? Is there something that would hinder me from my communion with the Lord, my walk with an almighty God? Is there something that would hinder me from raising my children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, teaching them to know their God and worship their God? Is there something that I would lean towards and love on that would hurt me in my ability to shepherd and lead the people of God that he put me here for? Is there something that I might love more that would keep me from declaring the lost to a lost world? Is there something that would keep me from ultimately being spent for my Lord? I do not want to come to the end of my life, whenever that is, and look back and see that I left something on the table for him. That I had left something behind. And he said here, don't love the things of the world. Love the things of the eternal. We ought to live in such a way that we're living for the eternal, that the world scratches our head and says, they're not living for this thing down here. They're living for something different. Our lives oughtn't say that we don't believe in the eternal. Our life ought to say that our whole focus is on the eternal. That we have set our affection on that which is above. And the Lord said this, if you will be fruitful in the Christian life, if you will be fruitful, you're going to have to learn to die to self and to love the things of the eternal that looks to the point as if you hated the things of this life. Forgive me if a moment, if sometimes I may not do the things that I maybe think, oh, those are wonderful things, but it would keep me from loving and leading my wife. Forgive me for a moment if there's good things in this life, but I pass over for a time because it might hinder me from raising my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And forgive me for a moment if there's things I might pass over because it might hinder my ability to lead the people of God. Forgive me for a moment if I seem a little bit crazy about this thing of knocking on doors and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's a world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forgive me for a moment if maybe you look like you might spend yourself up, because I hope I do. I hope when I leave this world behind that I have spent it up, that I have used my life to commune with my God, to love my wife, to raise my children, to lead His church, to declare His name to the lost world, that when I am done, I will look back and see nothing left on the table. And here is our Jesus. He looks back and He said, here it is, disciple. If you will be fruitful, live in such a way that you love the eternal and it appears that you hate the things of the temporal. And too many times, it looks like we're in love with the temporal and in hate to the things of eternal. And God calls us for something different. Say, how do I know? Right here. 33 years of age. Your Savior gave it all up. The devil tried to tempt him. Hold him up at the top of that mountain. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. I don't see how that could be tempting. And I don't know. Our Savior went to Calvary. People still reject Him. Hey, here's what He's saying. He goes, do you want to be a fruit or do you want to be fruitful? And the difference is, you're going to have to be willing to die to self and be planted in some dirt rather than put on a shelf like a nice piece of fruit. You're going to have to be willing to fall in love with the eternal things of the eternal that it appears that you hate the temporal. I think this, He says this, not only that, but He says here in verse, He says here, and look at verse 26, a fellowship that produces service. Look at here what He says here in verse 26. If a man serve me, let him what? Follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Boy, the Lord desires us to walk hand in hand with our Savior. He said, follow me. John chapter 17, verse 3 again. Look at that verse, the Lord's Prayer. He says this, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. If I were to say, what is eternal life? Most of us would say heaven, right off the bat. Heaven is a benefit of knowing the Lord. That's what He's saying here. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Heaven is a side benefit. It's a benefit in this respect. I am a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is my inheritance because it's Jesus' inheritance. Heaven was a part of the reason Christ went to the cross, but it was not the point of why He went to the cross. In other words, you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible and you can see God made us without sin and put us in a garden and said, you can have all the fruit of the garden, just don't eat of that one tree, because the day that you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. Your fellowship with me will be broken. They walked with Him in the cool of the day. They spoke with him and they fellowshiped with him and they spent time with him. And then they sinned. And that fellowship was broken. And they were kicked out of the garden. The thorns and the thistles of life came in. And even in the temple, God put a veil, a symbol of the separation between man and God, between the holy place and the holy of holies, and said nobody can cross that but once a year on the Day of Atonement. And that high priest, as he follows the procedures and makes sure his heart is right, he can enter in once a year and put the blood on the mercy seat and find atonement for the people. But then he had to get out. But Calvary, when our Savior gave His life, that veil was rent from top to bottom. We gained a direct access to the throne of God, and we gained something back that had been lost. Fellowship. Fellowship. Access to the throne of God and the Holy of Holies. What Christ went to Calvary for me was not merely that I might have heaven. Not merely that I might, if you will, have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. That I could walk through life at peace and in joy and long-suffering and gentleness. No, that was a benefit of the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. What He died for me to have was fellowship restored. Fellowship restored. Isn't it something that the thing that God died that we could have often becomes one of the most neglected things of our life? Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship that produces something in me, a service. He said, if any man will serve me, he's going to have to follow me. He's going to have to come with me. He's going to have to walk beside me. He's going to have to spend time with me. He's going to have to die to self. He's going to have to fall in love with the things of eternal. And if you will be fruitful in the Christian life, you're going to have to fellowship with me. I will tell you this, we can be fruit. Or we can be fruitful. I can be fruit, or I can be fruitful. And here it is. Am I willing to die? Am I willing to die? I've got my ideas, my hopes, and my ambitions, and am I willing to die? I'm willing to say, Lord, that I don't need. Whatever you want for me, that I'll take. Now, am I willing to be put in the ground for my Savior? Am I willing to love the eternal to the point that it looks like I hate the temple? And am I willing to fellowship with my Savior? I will tell you something. He even said in His Word, John 8:31-32, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ye shall bring forth fruit. There's a fruitfulness. As you sit here tonight, as we're about ready to remember what the Lord did for us, we'll remember His body that was broken for us, His blood that was shed for us, that He died for us. That He left the throne of heaven where the angels cried out, holy, holy, holy. And He came to a dirty old earth, lived His life without sin, and died on the cross so that you and I might be saved. And He didn't fall in love with the temporal things of the world. He didn't fall in love with any of it. He knew what was on the inside. He lived for the eternal. And He laid down His life. And the world would say a life cut short. But His life was lived fuller than most folks who lived a ripe old age. Because it was said of Him, I have finished the work that You put me here to finish. And that was Calvary. And He died so that you and I could fellowship once again with our Savior. I don't know about you, but I long to be more than fruit. I long to be more than that. He talks about that, except that corn of wheat. If it's all by itself, it abideth alone. All by itself. But if that corn of wheat dies and grows into the ground, it'll grow and bring forth much fruit. I don't want to die, if you will, as he said, that piece of fruit that is alone. You have to die to self, love the eternal, and fellowship with your Savior. And as we remember tonight what our Savior did for us, we remember it because of this. He died that I could fellowship with Him. Everything else, benefits. The Holy Spirit in my heart, an inheritance in heaven, those are the benefits of knowing the Savior and having fellowship with Him. And the choice for us is, will I be fruit or will I be fruitful in the Christian life? Let's pray together. Lord, I love